give out the frequency. What's the frequency, wow. Kenneth? What's the frequency? Bam, 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 bam.
The frequency is 88.1.
And you gotta lean off that mic. Hey, you're just totally distorted, Dan. Lean off that mic. Turn over.
All right.
Really distorted. All right, go ahead.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends. We are broadcasting on frequency 88.1.
You don't even know.
K-Gay. Yeah, it's 88.1. K-Gay in San Francisco. So if you're in the Haight-Ashbury region, you can definitely hear the Freedom Fiends. Tune in your radio waves and touch them. Be healed by the spirit of the fiends. Can you feel it, Davi? Can you feel it, Michael?
No.
I can feel something.
You
I don't know what it is
brain.
Yet.
This is going to be the conflict. This episode, I'm already naming it. It's called Conflict is the Essence of Drama. I'm going to say horrible things about my co-host, Derek J. here.
And,
K-Gay would be like broadcasting all the way to Oakland, but the engineer was drunk at the switch and fell down and was eaten by cats in an alley. So it's really, yeah, it's only like KJ is like the most powerful station in the tri-yard area right now.
Yeah, I was doing some yoga to the people the other day, and I saw there were two pirate flags. There were just, the Jolly Roger out in the middle of San Francisco somewhere. Pretty amazing. So, yeah, I don't know. We're probably not the strongest station, but
well, it doesn't
hey,
necessarily,
it's out there. People
that doesn't
can hear.
Necessarily mean a pirate radio station. I mean, they used to run a pirate flag above Apple headquarters in Cupertino.
Maybe that's
Back
what it is.
Well,
I was trying to figure it out because all the yoga to the people, it kind of threw off their vibe. Like, what did that building just get captured by pirates?
I don't know. I guarantee anybody, I would be willing to bet like dollars to like Dogecoin to
Donuts.
Bitcoin that Bitcoin to Dogecoin that anybody flying a pirate flag in San Francisco probably still votes and thinks we need more government to limit government. And they're really excited about Bernie Sanders, probably.
Yeah, they want to pirate everyone else.
So here's what Derek J did to me tonight. Here's how Derek J touched me in bad places on the radio.
Show me on the radio where Derek touched you.
I wasn't even going to be on tonight. I'm just on because, like, I left San Francisco, and, like, I always kind of wanted to be on the radio my whole life, even when I was in San Francisco. And, like, apparently tonight we're on the radio in San Francisco on what is K-Gay's frequency, Derek J?
88.1.
Let the people know it. And it's the most powerful station in the tri-apartment area. So Derek J, now... The bizarre thing is he doesn't even think he did anything wrong, but here's what he did. So, and I'm not just doing this to spank him. I don't like spanking young hairless dudes on the radio. It's not my thing, man. But I want to. This is a teaching hospital, and I want to point out, like, no matter what you say about liberty, it's like you got to walk your walk and show up on time, man. So Derek didn't. So I'm spanking him hard. Really hard.
Oh, man. So, I was there. I left you hanging a little bit. I was there. I fell asleep at the wheel a couple of times.
Did you really?
So we didn't crash.
Did you literally fall asleep?
No.
Okay.
No, I got hungry and had to eat. That's a reasonable
I do have to say that marijuana is legal in California, which is a good thing.
That had nothing to do with it.
You didn't smoke
sort
a whole
of.
Bunch today?
No.
Okay. I think it's in the water or something, probably.
That's it. Actually, just walking down Haight Street is enough to do it.
Yeah, you step on the needles and the syringe is full of THC going to your ankles.
There's a clock at the corner of the street, and it's broken at 420.
It's been broken.
And that's where everyone
it's been broken since
out.
1971 at 420, man. All right, so Derek
is
J.
Is the clock broken, or is the space-time continuum
I think
broken?
Haight Ashbury is broken. So... I'm never going to get this out. You guys are trying to block me from giving the moral of the story here.
Talk blocking, is that what we're doing?
Talk blocking me. Yeah, talkblock.org. So out of the goodness of my heart, not only did I like raise money for some sort of equipment that I may have shipped to somebody in San Francisco, I won't say who, I'm not taking responsibility for that. So suddenly, like, there's this station that's available in San Francisco that's being run, and, like, Derek J is helping the engineers get it set up. So Derek J is my contact. Like, I don't know these other people. I've talked to them, but I don't really know them. So I'm like, I'll help you set this up. I've done this before. So we're chatting back and forth on this thing called... It's called Telegram, which is good. Yeah. Telegram.org, I think it is. It's a encrypted, really easy to use encrypted instant messenger. So we're chatting back and forth, and like we get to the point, like I do all this work for free, volunteering for the movement, for and to help a friend. So Derek J, I say, all right, let's test it. Go out in front of the building, take the little radio receiver I bought you, and go stand in front of the building and see what it sounds like. Walk around the block and come back. And he's like, okay. I have everything open. Like, I can't do anything on my computer. Like, I have
Why can't every you do screen. Anything else on your computer?
Because I had, like, 15 things open to help you with this. And, you know, it would take a while.
Is that the limit? That's the computer's limit? 15 things?
It's the limit of... Okay, you are being really insulting. That's the limit of if I'm helping a friend troubleshoot something for free that I paid for so they could do, and then they, like, you went to dinner for an hour and a half and then came back and you're like, oh, I didn't know you were waiting. And I told Davi that, and Davi's like, but he didn't say sociopathic. What did you say, Davi?
I said pathological. Like, if it happened this way and everything's clearly communicated, like, it's like Alzheimer's. It's like, it's not the type of thing a rational person does, yeah, which is why, yeah, I'm having trouble understanding the, yeah, story.
Well, what do you think about it now, Davi? You've heard pretty much both sides, right?
I mean, well, I don't understand what you're saying happened. You're saying I guess what you're saying is it wasn't communicated to you that he was waiting on you.
Yeah, I thought end of
like you thought service. Walk this around the block. You thought walk around the block and see how it sounds was like instructions for the future.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Imminently. I walked around and listened, and it was good.
I need to read the record here.
Is there a transcript?
There's a transcript.
Please, yeah, read,
there
is. Court stenographer, please read this back. Like, like, I was trying to help you get together to do this an hour before we started, which was like 2 hours before you ditched me. And you were like, oh, I can't do it until this other guy gets here. But as soon as he gets here, we'll do this. And you can help
That was
me.
Stupid. I didn't need to wait.
You said you committed. You had committed to this. You know, I mean, maybe you think everything needs a contract in writing or something. But
no, that's not what I... No, it's just that I did not expect to have obligations put on my time at that very moment. I'm happy to do this.
When
I'm
someone's
more than
helping
happy
you.
To do this.
When
this
someone's
is something
helping
I'm excited
okay.
about.
Oh, yeah. Like if someone came over
to
help
demand
you,
that I do this right now is just not reasonable. I sometimes
it totally is.
I can't do things right now.
No, but
sometimes
you had agreed.
I can't do things at
you
that
had
moment.
Agreed. You had agreed to do it.
I don't know.
You did.
I got no answers for
okay,
you guys.
I'm just going to go back.
The other thing is, I also forgot my phone. So when I went out and was listening to the thing, it's not like I even could respond to you.
Yeah, but the guy you were with had a phone, and he has my contact
info.
Did
you message him?
No, but I didn't know I needed to. I was sending you a bunch of desperate messages. So I still think that you're being kind of at least selfish and at most something resembling sociopathic by thinking I did something wrong and you did nothing wrong. I mean, I'm looking at this.
I already apologized to you. I don't know how you're interpreting that as I haven't believed I'd done anything wrong. What I apologize for was I'm sorry that I wasted your time. And I didn't mean to do that. That's not my intention. I wasn't like, oh, I'm, you know, screw Michael. I'm going to walk around and just forget about him.
That's
it was
how
like,
I felt.
Hey, well,
and
sorry
you know what?
I
the
you.
Thing, the thing, it's totally bogus for you to say, oh, well, you, why did you sit there doing nothing waiting? Because I'm a friend and I set aside time to give
That's
you my
nice.
Full expertise. And you're like, I don't care about that.
I appreciate that. That's a nice thing of you to offer. But if I couldn't help you, if I couldn't communicate with you at that moment, and then you get indignant that I don't accept your offer of help, then, you know, that's not on me.
It's not on you that you forgot your radio. I mean, your phone. You said you forgot your phone.
I forgot my phone. That's
so,
on me.
Yeah. So it is on you.
But not the whole thing. I mean, you're really upset about this. I feel like it's got to be something else. I don't know. Is it just that I left without
I'm really upset on this because
you? Is there something else going on?
No, what else is going on is that you're being really insulting about this by acting like I'm, you know, like I'm out of
Well,
bounds.
I got to stand up for myself. What am
not
I just going to get pummeled?
Not when
I
you're
got,
incredibly
no, I got,
wrong.
I got to say it like how I see it.
You can admit
and
it.
And how I saw it was I was helping out. I did the thing. It worked. We were 100% complete. I told you that the station was on, and it was good. End of transaction, right?
No.
I mean, to what else is going to happen? Like, what else do we need to do?
There was more to do. There was more to do.
There's more. There is more.
There was more to do that we had discussed doing tonight. So I was waiting to do that because it was you going out and doing the test outside was step
and then
like
there was more
eight
to do.
Of step 12. Step 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There was more to do.
Yeah. There was more to
look,
do.
Look, I'm sorry.
And we had
Michael,
discussed
right.
it. We had discussed it, man. Jesus.
I don't know how I can make it right now. So now I acknowledge that there was more to do. I made a mistake and failed to communicate. How can I make it right to you?
Okay, well, that's part of it. You actually took some responsibility for it, which is, you know, a lot of people don't do that. So, you know, you're a bigger man than a lot of people. But I guess the next thing would be sometime when we're not on a syndicated radio show, people are going, what the hell is this? I think, you know, like, oh, I finally get to broadcast in San Francisco, and what am I doing? Having a sissy fight, a slap fight with Derek J. But, you know, it's never been done. This has never been done on radio in San Francisco or anywhere, probably. Do you think? Have you ever turned on the radio and just heard, like, people having a personal beef?
People fighting.
It's groundbreaking, man. So I think the thing that you could do next is sometime probably off air in the next couple of days, contact me and say, hey, I'd like to set aside a time to completely devote to finishing that project and respecting your expertise. When can you do it? And I'll drop everything to do it, as long as you don't walk off in the middle and go have sex in Buena Vista Park and get a, you know, some stick meat at the corner.
Okay, I think that sounds fair.
All right.
I can agree to that.
So cool. What's up with you, Dobby Barker?
Worst radio ever. Not nearly as exciting as all your guys' catfight.
You got a button maker.
I got a button maker today. Yeah. That happened.
You got
two of them, in fact.
You got 100 Bipcot buttons, too, that you're going to give away.
Yep, those arrived in the mail. And what else is going on?
You know what you could say? You could say, I didn't agree to do that. You sent them to me, but I didn't agree to do that. You should just throw them out your window right now.
That's true.
Open your window.
Well, I don't remember what
I say. I'm mad as hell, and I'm throwing these buttons out the window. And it's not like you live in the city where people will pick them up. They'll just sit in your yard. Now, Derek K threw them out the window. Tomorrow, all the bums would be Bipcot licensed.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
This is Freedom Fiends. We're too busy talking to do talk radio. So, we're doing a short interview here for this next segment with Steven. Hey there, Steven.
Hey.
Steven's
here in Asbury.
Derek J's boyfriend, is that accurate? Do you want to admit to that?
That sounds about
after
yeah,
that
sounds
last
right.
segment. So what was your take on
yeah,
the whole
so
thing?
Yeah, so someone's broadcasting the Fiends now, I noticed. Yeah, yeah. I turned on my radio.
And it's 30
right
seconds
here,
delayed,
88.1.
though. Yeah, because LRM is delayed. Yeah, so.
About a minute.
Yeah, KG is 88.1. Somebody should let Ian Freeman know that. Yep. So, so what happened? Where do you land on this Derek J dog pile?
Hey, well, first of all, the packages came like magically. So I guess
there's more stuff coming.
Now they're oh great.
There's more stuff
good.
Coming.
I yeah. need more stuff. I
mean, yeah. So go on.
Yeah. Well, I love Capital Equipment. That's my thing.
What's Capital? Oh, you mean.
Yeah, you know.
Goods.
We're producing sound waves and magic yeah. beams.
Beams. Yes.
Beams.
Beams. So you work for You work for the second biggest cryptocurrency, huh? Can you talk about that? That's probably more interesting than spanking Derek J. I think we already spanked him quite well. So what do you do?
Yeah, I've been a long time really into alternative currencies and alternative money systems.
Yeah.
Trying to ignore all the Fed money, of course. And so I work with Bitcoin a lot, and I work with Ripple coin and a bunch of different payment systems.
Ripple.
Creating cryptocurrency.
Tell us about Ripple. I mean, you know, a lot of people know exactly what it is, but as people listening who don't even know what Bitcoin is. So for the uninitiated, what is Ripple?
Well, Ripple is a money system. It's a computer program somewhat similar to Bitcoin. And it allows you, it has all the same cryptography as Bitcoin and a lot of the same great properties. But it also allows you to have any currency or any made up thing like gold or a Zeiler mark or any made up currency. And it's an exchange that's distributed among a bunch of different computers. So it's not run by just one company.
Yeah. But isn't there a company called Ripple?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And so they started the project. Actually, it's been a long chain of projects. It used to be called OpenCoin. They run several of the servers in the network. And then a few dozen other parties run servers also.
I used to work at some .coms in San Francisco in the first round of it in like 1997, 98. That was weird. Or wait, was it 97, 98? No, it was 2000. When was it? Yeah, it was 97, 98. And all the companies I worked for don't exist anymore. They all went out of business. And it's weird too because a lot of them were doing things that like suddenly are viable business plans. Like there's all these business plans now of like the wine of the month club over the internet, and like that stuff just all failed back then in the day. But I think part of it is just that, like, first of all, the internet kind of works now. It kind of didn't back then. And second of all, there were people like way overfunding things to the point where people would like, you know, they would get like gold plated ping pong tables for their lobby and stuff.
Yeah, they were missing a lot of technological infrastructure to actually implement all of those great ideas.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. But, like, now you can buy all that as a service. Back then, like, every company I worked in, like, had a small server farm built into the place. Like, you had to have your own server farm to run an e-commerce site back then.
Yeah, I used to work for Cars.com, and we had a server farm in our closet for a while, but we finally transitioned to the Magic Cloud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's much easier that way, a lot cheaper.
Yep. And I was like the lowest paid person at these companies, and I was making like $30 an hour with my feet up on the table, casually dressed, coming and going when I pleased. It was pretty nice while it lasted.
So about Ripple, the goal of Ripple is to have people and companies in all different types of countries and jurisdictions running the software so that if it's shut down in any particular place or set of places, it would still be able to operate without censorship.
That is the goal. Is it at that point right now?
It would probably, I estimate, probably if the United States was shut down, it would take about a week to get back up in all the other places that are running the server to re-coordinate.
Are people actually trading gold and stuff on it?
Yeah, I actually had, it has expired, but I had a debit card that was attached to a gold balance on the Ripple network.
Wow.
And it was awesome. I would buy gold, and then it would turn into dollars when I paid.
Well, cool, man.
Shift payments.
Excellent.
Worms.
Thanks for
having me.
What's the address for the website for Ripple?
Ripple.com.
Worms. All right. Thanks, man.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yeah. Meow. 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 Meerkats. Meow. 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 Meow.
The Freedom Fiends.
Yep.
KG. Here we're going to do a whole 4-hour special on cults again. Is that true? KG.
No.
Yeah, we are.
I just want to. No, I do want to talk a little bit about.
Someone threw away a perfectly good Derek J. I want to talk about my cats and I'm leaving. But okay. Derek ended up in my trash, but I took him out and cleaned him off and said, look at this. Someone threw away a perfectly good Derek J. So we went and got cats. I've been really sick, but I'm getting better. I was allergic to cats. We had to get rid of our cats. So after like 7 months, we just go nuts. We went and got cats the other day. So we got...
Are you still allergic? Or are you
apparently not. We've had them like 36 hours and I'm not sick. So
cool.
It was other stuff. But basically what it was, it turned out like the reason I was having life-threatening asthma. And the thing that really irritates me is my first doctor... I saw this lady who's supposed to be a pulmonologist, like an expert on lung stuff. I saw her like 30 times in the past 9 months. Like I was seeing her like every week and every other week and like tests and everything and this and that. Like she's been a pulmonologist for like 30 years and she really didn't help. She put me on all these drugs, which kept me from dying, but and none of them were fun. And then like I ditched her and got the other pulmonologist in town, which to get like, at first I tried to see him and he wouldn't see me, but it was like, I ended up in the ER twice, once with a broken nose from coughing and passing out, once with a broken rib from coughing. And the doctor at the hospital gave me a referral. So then I was able to get into the better doctor, and he's my doctor now. I saw him once, and like, I talked to him for like, he asked me all these questions, and I actually wrote out like a 4-page, really concise, like my life's health history and my history with this doctor. And he like read it all, sat there and spent like 10 minutes reading it all and then poked around, like had me cough, had me lie down, listened to my, you know, lungs, like just kind of like laid his hands on me. And he said, I think you've got acid reflux and it's going into your lungs.
Whoa.
And I've never heard of such a thing. And, you know, I've had heartburn here and there. And I've had acid reflux a few times. I'll take some Tums or something like once in a great while. But I wouldn't say I'm someone with acid reflux, but flux. But the thing is, it wasn't going in my throat. So I didn't feel like, oh, it's acid reflux. It's something I recognize. Literally, yeah. Acid from my stomach was going right into my lungs.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And he said that. Weird. And he basically prescribed... like the prescription strength version of Prilosec and Tums. He said, like, take a Tums every meal and take this Prilosec stuff once a day. And it was like the cheapest drug I'm on. I'm on drugs that cost like $200 a month. That's my copay. And, you know, they cost like $1,000 a month. And the Prilosec is like $12 a month, you know? and I started taking it. And then his nurse said, Tilt your bed up. Put some bricks under the pillow, under your bed, under the pillow, and put it at a 5-degree angle. I did those three things. Instantly got better. Like I'm not 100%. You can tell. You listen to my voice, but it's like, you know, I don't feel like I'm dying every day, and I'm not coughing constantly every day. And it's just the other doctor didn't even cross her mind. Like, and this is a fairly common thing for asthma to be exacerbated by stomach acid. I had no idea.
Do you think that she was just a shill for the pharmaceutical companies, that like a ton of pharmaceutical agents came through her door and were just like, hey, push this. This is expensive.
Actually, no. You'll get because, a cut. Actually, no, because there's, and I learned about this from, what's the guy that spun off of Colbert Report and the British guy that has his own show now, last Oliver. Week tonight, John Oliver, which is
John
great.
Oliver, yeah.
He like does real like expose stuff and it's funny. He did a thing on the medical industry and how like pharmaceutical reps go in and bribe doctors all the time. I mean, they bribe them. They buy them sports cars and send them to, you know, on vacations to Hawaii. And
oh, yeah.
And but here's one of the like one of the things that came out of the Obamacare law is there's actually now a website where you can search your doctor and see how much money they've been given by the pharmaceutical industry. And I searched around.
I'm sure it's completely accurate.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Like maybe it's not all up to date yet or whatever, but I searched her and she has not received any according to that. I think she's just not good at what she does. You know,
but she's been doing it for 30 years.
Well, his answer was pharmaceuticals too, but they happen to be like generic pharmaceuticals that didn't cost much money. But he's also putting me on something that's extraordinarily expensive, but covered by insurance. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm not one of these like Western medicine is a hoax. I'm going to snort some iodine and some silver and then chew on this root and then tell my doctor to go to heck. No, like there are life-saving drugs that the big pharmaceutical companies happen to have patents on. And it's like, you know, you can take them or you cannot take them or you can take them cautiously or whatever. But, you know, just all of a sudden out of nowhere, I got like violently ill last January to where I could barely breathe. And then I'm a lot better now, and it just turns out a lot of it was dealing with stomach acid, of all things. So we got cats, and we really like them. Their names are Roxy and Ancat, Anarcho Catalyst. And they're 3 months old, which is a really cool age because they don't look like kittens. They look like little cats, you know, like they're proportionate already. And they don't, and they're like litter box trained out, you know, instantly. They've gotten like they don't have all the diseases like kittens get, and you know, they're pretty healthy and they're energetic and
they're still really active. Every picture you've taken is blurry because they're always in motion.
They are. And but they're also really sweet and like to be petted. Our last cats, the you know, Peanut and Fuzzy, the two that we had, Fuzzy had to be put down. Fuzzy got incredibly sick, like had pancreas failure later in life. But Peanut and Charlie are living, they're barn cats now on a ranch in Douglas, Wyoming. And I could go see them, but I kind of don't
want to. Can you visit them?
I don't want to.
Oh.
It would be too
hard.
Why?
Didn't you love them?
I love them dearly, but it's like, I'd really want them back. And they said that, you know, once we take these, we're not going to give them back. So,
oh, man.
Yeah.
What's the story with one of them rejecting its chip?
This is so anarchist, man. Yeah, like they chip them at. We went to the city. You know, like there's basically two things that governments are good at. One is like picking up dead bodies. You know, when people die, like they'll send someone out when someone's murdered. They won't solve the murder. They won't solve the crime, but they'll come and pick up the body and take pictures of it. And the other thing is they're pretty good at running, you know, city shelters where you can adopt a cat for $35 that's healthy. So we did, and but they chipped them on the spot, and you can't not have them chipped. And actually, I don't mind the chip thing. I mean, they're required by law to chip them, which I don't like. But, you know, if the cat gets out and runs away and anyone takes it to a vet, they just scan it and they'll go, oh, and they'll know whose it is, you know?
All right.
They'll scan the cat. That sounds so weird.
Oh, I saw them scan the cat. They put the chip in it.
Where do they scan it?
Oh, its neck, behind its neck.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the chip is like
just like scanning something at the grocery store.
It looks like you're using the same gun, man, to do it. But they, it's a chip like the size of a grain of rice, and they inject it. And they injected it into what we've decided is my cat. It's my cat and DJ's cat. Basically, like, the guy handed a cat to me and handed a cat to her, and they just bonded instantly. So they're both are cats, but Ancat is my cat, and Roxy Girl is DJ's cat. But Ancat, they injected the little, you know, grain thing into its nape of its neck, and it popped out and fell on the floor. Like, its body rejected the government registration, and they had to get another one to do it again. They said that's never happened.
Did they give it some compliacin?
I don't know, man. I think you need some, but they're really sweet kitties. They're girls. They're fixed. They both still have, like, the stitches dissolving, you know, dissolving stitches.
Are they talkative? I like cats that like to meow a lot. Maybe they can meow into the microphone.
They're not terribly... Someday. They will. I'll be doing shows with them sooner or later, but they're not terribly talkative yet. But here's what happened. Like, we actually split up a litter. It sounds kind of evil.
Aww.
But it was like... In one cage, they had Ancat and Ancat's brother. And Ancat's brother was this almost all black cat. I like black cats, but it was totally limp. Like, and it wasn't a rag doll. It just like had no personality. It might have been sick, but it just, I don't think so. I think it was like, you know, Ancat was climbing all over me and mewing and saying, like, take me, take me. And its brother just looked like a lump. And then there was this other one in another cage nearby that was screeching, like, take me, take me, take me. And DJ said, I want to try this one. She took it out, and it just, like, jumped on her boob and ran up on her shoulder and ran on her other shoulder and just, like, wrapped around her like a mink or something.
And that's Roxy?
And that's Roxy. Roxy, and we're like, we'll take that one. You can leave this other.
Is Roxy a punk rock name, or what's that about?
Well, okay. There was a band called Roxy Music, which was the first glam band, really. It was Brian Eno was in that band. And And Morrissey, was he the singer? No, who's the singer? Brian Ferry. I mean, his adopted name is Ferry. How punk rock. And then there's a club called the Roxy in L.A. I've played there, and it's, you know, DJ's been there. You've been there, right, DJ? Yeah, it's an old punk rock club. It's kind of, yeah, it sounds punk rock. I don't know.
How long were you waiting to use the name Anarcho Kitty or Ancat?
Never crossed my mind. It's just sweet.
It seems like that was one you were sitting on for a while.
Nope. DJ made it up last night, man.
Wow. Good job, DJ.
Ancat. It just works. Yep. Hi, Ancat. You know your name? You're looking
It sounds right to me, like Ancap has just been a mistake all this time.
We're Ancats. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the name of the. I'm sorry I was so hard on the beaver there, Derek J.
The beaver?
It's okay. Like
cleaver? Like you're a cleaver.
On the That's clamped down.
Somebody once said like the most like severe thing that was ever spoken on TV before the 60s was there is a beaver cleaver line where the wife says, "Honey, I think you were a little hard on the beaver last night." It's supposed to be like the first obscenity on TV, but it's really not because of context, you know. That was a little hard on Derek's beaver.
That's okay. We're gonna move on and make it okay with each other. Yeah. We still love each
call
other.
Call my secretary and we'll book a time. I'll have you put some Bitcoin in escrow. I'll have you put some Bitcoin in escrow that you'll get back at the end of the session if you don't walk off. Oh, how's that? We'll have Tommy holding the escrow. No, we'll have Steven. No, Steven's not a disinterested party.
He's biased.
Although I think Ripple, you can set it up so it doesn't matter what people do, right? Isn't it like automatically?
It's a little closer to it's a little closer to Ethereum in that way that you can do.
Does Ethereum even work yet, or is it contracts? Just a theory?
No, it's still just a theory.
Yeah. How about MadeSafe?
Allowed for some people, but not everyone yet.
There's a new thing coming out. Zero Net.
Yeah.
Gamecoin over Worms. BitTorrent.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow.
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 Hey, those kitties are probably listening to 88.1 K-Gay. San Francisco.
Worms.
So Bitcoin Not Bombs is doing a new logo, Dobby?
Yeah, so I don't know if you've noticed this, but Bitcoin Not Bombs, we change our logo every year. We have a sort of like numismatic, and we have a numismatic property to our logo in that it changes every year.
Yeah.
And the trick is always, it has to be similar enough
that it references the old version so people get that it's the same logo, but at the same time fresh enough that people might want to buy the new t-shirt or the new patch or the new pin or whatever because it's different enough, right?
I dig it.
It's sort of like Google. Google does this a lot. Their logo is always constantly changing by like one pixel at a time.
No, they just did a big sweeping change that made a lot of people upset. Yeah. Including
me. 2016 for us is, we're going with a big sweeping change this year. I mean, it's still obviously the bomber, but it's
a... Is it a bomber? Okay.
It's still a bomber, yeah.
Do you have a character? Do you have like a human character now? Like a...
No.
Lucky Charms type guy?
No. Like a pelican or something, or...
Yeah.
I don't know. What what would it be? The honey badger? Like, what is the...
No, I would just think sort of. There could be like a pilot on the plane. There could be someone in particular.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. It could be like those insurance companies, the General or whatever.
Yeah.
So have
the 3D bomber. The Bitcoin bomber.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what's the change? I mean, what have you done? It's still a bomber, but what's different about it?
Well, it's in your email if you want to look at it, but I am essentially like really simplifying it down, right? So a lot of the like nuance with the like the details on the wings and the like the engines and all that, that's all going away. The swoosh of coins sort of dropping is now a sort of like a cartoonish sort of I don't know. It's very simplified. It looks cartoony now.
Okay, cool. I dig cartoony. That's in. I mean, that's what Google pretty much did. Google had their, serif font, you know, the ones with the lines, and it had the swirly typewriter style G, you know, with the closed circle on the bottom, and it was classy, you know. It to me harkened back to the days of print, you know, and it's trustworthy and it's clean. It's not efficient. I get that. It's a little bit swirly and pretty and fun. Now they're strictly efficient. They look like the refrigerator magnets.
See, that's what makes it fun for me, is that they look like the refrigerator magnets.
Isn't that kind of boring? I mean, they're so circular. They're such plain circles now. Whereas before, you know, they had almost a calligraphy to them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, one advantage to this new change is that they can put their G. They've put their G in all of their apps, so you can actually, as you're swiping through your apps, you can pick out the Google ones.
I mean, that's got to be the point, right? Like, if you look at Calibri is that font that Google came up with that was like designed to be super legible on tiny fonts. And that's what they're going for. They understand that screens are getting smaller, and that means that typefaces are getting smaller. And that means that logos and text and everything need to be recognizable and easy on the eye at a smaller size, right?
How long until we're just at strictly emoji speak? I'd like to just get rid of all the words.
Abbreviate there yet? Everything.
Not abbreviate, just use emojis. They've got tons of pictures that you can choose from now.
Well, emojis don't like enter into common speech as easily as like AOL or OMH or whatever do. Or OHM, my humble
opinion. Yeah, I guess you can't speak them. You just
I hear kids. Kids speak these acronyms for things, and I've never heard any kid go up to another kid and say, "Hey, you know, colon end parenthesis, buddy," and like, so emojis not are hard yet. To speak. Not yeah. yet, worms. I don't know. I want to hear about the cult. I haven't heard about.
No,
the cult.
I've been avoiding it. All right, since you asked, I did join that cult that I talked about last week, and they haven't made me drink any juice or Kool-Aid yet. But they are making extreme demands on my time, and I'm not liking that. There are lots of surprises where it's like, oh, hey, now you have to fill out this questionnaire, and by noon tomorrow, I want 20 things that you're grateful for and 20 things that you're proud of, which is nice. Like, that's a nice little exercise. I get it, but it's a little too much like school. Like, here, now fill out
this question. We're going to have to talk about the abundant river when we get back.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I have no idea what that is.
Meow.
88.1 KGay, San Francisco. The Freedom Fiends.
worms.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Notice when we actually go on air, like we just did, and you were still talking. And this is a teaching hospital, so there you go. Have a good show, guys.
Meow.
Yeah, underruns are when you make mistakes. Fiend phone measures of that. Let's you know. All right, have a good show.
Kind
guys.
Of mistakes. Good night, Michael. Good
night.
And good morning, world. Good morning, San Francisco.
KGay 88.1 FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
KK, the most true. Powerful station in the tri-yard area.
The Freedom Fiends, freedomfiends.com, is covered by the BIPCOT no-gov license. This means it is allowed for reuse and reuse by everyone except government agents. Hey,
so they can go make their own radio show.
Yeah.
I mean, Dobby needs if to turn down his headphones.
What now?
I think you need to turn down your headphones. I'm hearing a little echo from Derek J. Okay. This is a teaching hospital. All right. Have a good show.
So we're talking about the Roosevelt family cult. And this has nothing to do with Roosevelt, any of the other Roosevelts you know. This is just the name of the name I've given this family cult that I've joined because it's so hard to find an apartment in San Francisco.
How would they feel anyone? If they heard this? They could.
I don't know. They actually, you're right.
You're like, I have no idea how they'd ever finally. Oh wait, we're on the radio. Okay.
Well, I doubt it. I don't know.
They're more than three blocks away.
Yeah, no, they're actually not. They're really close. They could probably hear this. They're literally only four blocks away from where I am right now. So, you know, it doesn't matter. They can listen and tell me that I'm horrible. If they want to kick me out, fine. I only signed a 2-month lease anyway. So if I can endure this for 60 days, then I think I've got it made. I'm going to keep looking for places because I really don't want to be a part of a cult. But I feel like I had to do this because, Davi, I mean, back me up here. It's impossible to find an apartment in San Francisco. I mean, unless you're a bajillionaire, it's really impossible. These apartments, they're like $3,000 a month. $3,000 for like a one bedroom with sharing with other people.
This is what I've heard, although I have never tried.
Okay,
so,
well, look it up on Craigslist. Anyone who doubts me, this is really the situation here, and it's insane. So I was not expecting this. I mean, I knew it was going to be expensive, but not that much. So this is my only option because it's affordable, and in exchange for it being affordable, I have to just do weird things. Like, for example, during the last break, I pulled up on my phone the tab that says cult, and looked in the folder and opened up one of their daily chores checklist websites. So they've got these like private personal Google websites where I have to check off like your name, the date, what your chores were, what you did, if you made your bed that day.
I think it's a good thing. I think you need some structure in your life.
Oh, I'm so mad about hearing that. Oh, that makes me so mad.
Because, you know, Derek J. loves authority. Everyone knows that.
See, I think if it's a cult, you should be able to ask for a reasonable religious accommodation. As you're an atheist, right? So yeah. You should be able to opt out of the religious sounding cults parts of the cult activities.
I'm for that. Maybe I'll have some kind of argument there. I mean, it's been really frustrating. First of all, I already make my bed every day. But reporting to some digital mommy every night is really frustrating.
No, wait a minute. Who cares if you make your bed? Why is that part of the list?
because the way they consider it is, first of all, I'm a guest in this guy's house. I'm not really renting. It's still his house. Like, and he writes this on the lease, like, you're waiving all your rights as a renter, and I'm just going to let you use my kitchen as a favor. You don't actually get it as part of the lease. This is not part of the agreement. You know, the only thing you get is your room, basically. And even that you don't get. You're a guest in his house. And he's pretty much treating these people like his children.
Being a cult is his way out of San Francisco's onerous renter-tenant rights legislation.
I'm starting to think that's the whole idea, is that he wants everyone to just be awesome people who pay their rent on time and then make his house look pretty all the time, too. So, like, you can use my kitchen, but always clean the kitchen sink with Comet, which is cool. I get that. I want a clean kitchen sink, but it's just so excessive. Like, are we all maids in a hotel, or do we live here? I make my bed every day, but it's required that you keep your door open as an inspiration to others to keep their rooms clean. So, like, you're supposed to, yeah, you have to keep your door open all the time. So, like, even when I'm working, earlier today I was listening to Free Talk Live, and I'm thinking, like, this is probably bothering people. Yeah, no privacy. I mean, I guess I haven't had a problem with shutting my door. No one's really said anything about it. I guess they figure I'm having some private time.
No, they're on the other side. They're talking about you behind the door when you shut it, probably. He shuts his door.
Maybe, but I would be able to hear them because it's so quiet. You can hear everything. And I haven't been excited by these people demanding my time in these surprise ways. Like, I was telling Davi, a surprise, there was this requirement that I had to fill out or write an email to Mama Satoy. That's the cult leader, the Jim Jones of the group. And he or she, whichever, I'm not really sure, requires you to write 20 things that you're grateful for and 20 things that you're proud of. And they couldn't be like, I'm grateful for air. It had to be like well thought out, long answers. And no one reads them except for him, apparently. And then there are these one-on-one meetings that you have to have once a month.
Whoa, there's, you get audited?
Yeah, and you have to write a letter. Yeah, like, after your first two-month lease is up, every month you have to reapply, and you have to write, like, this multi-page letter explaining, like, why you've grown and how this has changed you and what you still need to work on. There's these people...
I think your rent should be free. I can't believe, like, you're doing all this and paying rent.
Exorbitant.
Exorbitant rent.
Your rent is so bizarre.
Your rent is, like... 2/3 of my mortgage on a house that my wife and I split.
Yeah, I'm starting to know, like, is it worth it? At least it's temporary. Like, I'm not going to be here forever. If this was a thing that I was really buckling down and going to do this forever, it would not make economic
sense.
They're
not gonna
let
you leave.
A little while. that's right. I don't know. You have to turn in a
20-page essay explaining why you're leaving.
You have to apply to leave, and they're going to turn you down.
So they're like, the guy sort of acknowledged that some people have called this a cult, and he got it right out in front of that and was like, now some people have called this a cult, and you can see our comments on the website.
I think where, I heard Stefan Molyneux who've
lived here
start a sentence with that one time or paragraph.
Well, so is there a theological component? Like, are they?
Yeah.
Is they worship Mama Satoy.
The mantra of the house is leave everything better than you found it, which is a beautiful expression. Fine. That's a nice mantra.
KG does
I'm
that.
For that.
I think you should steal that mantra for KG.
Leave it better than you found it.
Yes.
Yeah, why not? I mean, and I do that already. I try and, like, wipe up any little hairs I see at the bottom of the bathroom tiles or whatever. I do that. I do that automatically.
How many roommates
even
you
in
got?
A public restroom. 20. I'm one of 20.
I figured out this guy's making like $180,000 a year on rent.
Yeah,
you couldn't pay me that much to live with 20 people, though.
It's crazy. I mean, I have a lot of housemates, and we've all got chores. We've got chores to do 3 times a week.
Like
we've got a little
club.
Schedule about it. Yeah, they're serious about it. Yeah, if you miss your chores, you have
why
to like
go out
do punishment chores
and express gratitude to a complete stranger.
It's like that, man. It is pretty weird, and like I'm all for gratitude, but forced gratitude is the opposite.
Oh yeah, it's the worst, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so
tell me
I
why
tell you
you're
about
grateful.
This game.
Yeah.
So, man, maybe I'll just give it to you. I'll bet they would love it. It's called The Abounding River, and it's a game that is designed to focus your attention on the positive things that are already in your life.
Aww.
And it's essentially like a Candyland board, except it goes around in a circle, and you roll dice, and you land on squares, and then you draw like inspiration cards, or abundance cards, or sage cards, and you read the cards. I'll grab some during the next break. You Great. Read the cards, and it's like, express to the person on your left things that you are grateful for in your life, and make a list on your spiritual growth chart. And like, it's like the weirdest thing ever, and there's no way to win. You just go around forever, and
you're dealing with socialism, whether the outcome is everybody wins or nobody can win. It's socialism.
No, it is everybody. The instructions say no, everybody wins, but I really didn't feel like a winner.
If everybody wins, nobody wins.
But it's oddly personal. Like, some of the questions are about your finances and like things about your parents. And hey,
Derek,
like,
you got a job there yet? Speaking of finances.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm working. I'm doing some marketing and social media for a couple of cryptocurrency companies.
Crypto cults? No. For cults. Okay. For the cult. They don't pay me. They pay me in raw turbinado sugar, but, you know, it's all right. To be the cult liaison. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. I want to read from you from the orientation that they sent me.
It's this
6-page orientation that was done over an hour by two of the team leaders.
They double teamed
one
here.
Night. This was another surprise time obligation. Like, oh, surprise! Tonight we're doing.
I think you're going to end up writing like an article for the New York Times and making $10,000 on this someday.
I would love to.
I think you should.
So respond. This is the first thing in the orientation paper, page one. Responding promptly to all communication from Satoy is all caps, all red. Absolutely one of the most important items about living in the house. Promptly respond to all forms of communication you receive through
Satoy.
You're
distorting when you yell. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you for the tip. Yep. Promptly confirm receipt of all the house messages you receive from Satoy and respond with I got it or received, etc. So it even tells you, like, even if you're not responding
now,
right
see,
away
if
to
you'd
what
done
his
this,
inquiry
if you'd
is.
If you done this with me tonight, I wouldn't yell at you.
I didn't have my phone.
That's
I
not
have responded
an excuse,
to you.
Man. I don't care.
How do I respond without my phone?
Your boyfriend was sitting with you. He had his phone.
I think you should begin
expressing gratitude for things about the cult that aren't true. Like in your next, you know, yes. In your next audit, you should say, "I'm so grateful that Satoy is patient with my inability to respond to her communique in a prompt manner."
Yeah. Yeah.
It has 2 pages of instructions on how to reapply for every month.
I want
to
hear that when you come back.
Worms.
Black cats matter.
Leave it better than you found it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Steven.
Tell me more about the cult. Tell me more about the cult.
Well,
Uncle Derek.
They're making surprise requirements on my time, and I don't like that. So, like, I was doing some work in the common room the other day, and it was really important. I needed to get a lot done, and it was time-sensitive. But then this lady, who I've never met, you know, but she's apparently my housemate, because there's 20 of them, so whatever. I get surprised by new ones all the time. And she's like, oh, hey, which cabinet's yours? A very common, simple question. I'm happy to answer and go back to my work. But then she's bothering me more, like, well, which top left, you know, so I get up, I put my laptop down, I go and show her. It's this one, okay? It's empty. This is the one I'm going to use. This is what I was shown. And she's like, well, there's another girl here, and she is very short, and she's probably not going to be able to reach. And I'm like, okay, I can't deal with this right now. Either give me the cabinet or don't. I don't care. I didn't put anything there. Nothing's in anyone's way. But, like, stop bothering me, basically. Like, leave me alone to do my work in the common area, you know? Unless I have to be sequestered to my room 24/7.
Where you why can't the heck close do the door I anyway.
Yeah, where I can't close the door. You know, don't bother me about what cabinet to use. And, you know, then there's the questionnaire thing, which I almost didn't do tonight. And what's going to happen? Like, what's the consequence if I don't? Do they take my security deposit? Do they say, like, oh, you didn't fulfill all the requirements of our family? And the other thing is weird that they call it a family. Like, I think that's kind of sweet creepy. And nice, but it is presuming.
Charles
a lot.
Manson like, called okay, we his just met. Manson had a family.
Yeah.
At least it's sweet and nice, like, leave it better than you found it is a nice leave mantra. It better than you I found like that. It. It's like a nice way to think about the world, too. You know,
yeah, I grew up with that rule in our house.
Yeah. And it's a nice way it keeps things clean and immaculate, but it does sort of feel like an unlived-in dollhouse. Like, every day I'm walking into a fake place where, like, a murder was just staged and they just cleaned up to make God. It immaculate. Yeah, so I can invite friends to the potluck that they have once a month. So, you know, maybe you can come one day, Davi, and check this place out for me. I'm going to invite right. Steven, too. And, you know, they say I can have guests, so why not?
The only can I introduce rule, myself as a
cult expert?
A cult exit counselor? No, an exit counselor.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we should totally troll them with a video camera.
You really want to troll the place you're living that has like $2,000 of your security deposit?
Yeah, it'll be fun. I've been trying to surreptitiously record audio, and I have been doing this while I'm like during orientation. I was recording audio.
Davi, say your name. Say your name is Davi. Introduce yourself as a cult exit counselor, and say your name is Edward Snowboard.
There you go.
So I don't know. Maybe I should make some Kool-Aid for the potluck.
Man,
and just see what they say.
Yeah, there you go.
Man.
I don't know. What I was supposed to tell you the requirements for staying in the cult. Yeah. That's the thing that makes this a little different is most cults you can't get out of it. This one you have to fight to stay in, which is a little weird. Yeah, like I've got to beg and write to this guy.
I don't know. I think Scientology before you become a player in it, I think it's
you got to pay to stay
in. Yeah.
That's a little different.
Yeah.
Although, you know, maybe they've hit on, like, some sort of secret to cult success. If people feel like they... I mean, it's a sunken cost fallacy, right? All that time you spend filling out your gratitude survey can't be for nothing.
So here's what you have to do. Answer these questions. It must be a thoughtful reflection on your time at the home and what it has meant to you. The statement of why you think you deserve to stay another month. Your application letter must include, one, why do I want to continue living here for another month? Think about, is it economics and convenience, like until I can find something better, or is it a strong commitment and belief in our revolution and our ideals? Is this
it's
house
a revolution?
Still, it's a revolution now.
So what are the what are the
it's a revolution
goals of the revolution?
The well, it says the core value. Do I still see any value in being a part of the house and being a part of the revolution? What have I done to show that I am a revolutionary instead of just a tenant? So why do I deserve to be approved? Think about, have I been respecting and abiding by the rules? Have I delivered my best? Have I participated in meetings and activities consistently? Do I do things because it's required rather than because I believe in it? I mean, this is totally me. Like, I'm just doing it because it's required. Like, thank you for the
and
cheap
rent. And if
that's
not what they want, it shouldn't be required. Like, that question could be taken right off the survey, and it could just be based on whether or not a person took the survey.
Well, I like that he at least gives me clues as to how to lie on the survey. Like, thanks for telling me what to say. I will fill out the perfect letter per your guidelines. Thank you, Mama Satoy. It's all right. It's just 2 months. If I can survive it, maybe I'll live.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Need some chug-chugs in there. It's a chug-chug kind of song.
No, it's not. Degent. Did you know there's a style of heavy metal music called degent?
Like degenerate?
No, degent is like the sound of the degent.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
No, I was listening to a Stevie Ray Vaughan version of Taxman earlier today. It was nice and bluesy and sad. And I thought, you know, this is perfect because the Beatles, they're so like, da-da-da-da, the Taxman, wee, you know, and that's too happy. Stevie Ray Vaughan was definitely sad about the Taxman.
Yeah, the Beatles had some, they could spare some. I mean, Beatles were so rich that like, you know, at that point, for their class of income in England, they were paying like 95% income tax, and they were still like far more wealthy than most people on the planet.
Well,
not saying taxes are good. I'm just saying like that's how rich they were. But come on.
So I had a question for Davi, honestly. I saw a post of a smiley face that some kid had drawn, and he wrote over it Muhammad, and Davi asked, does this count as a cartoon of Muhammad? And I was wondering what kind of responses you got on that.
I don't think I got any responses on that.
Like on, because that was just a photo I posted to Facebook.
No one was offended?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, that's good. That's progress.
We left it on the wall at an Islamic school, so I don't know.
So what do you think makes the difference? Has anyone ever been offended at a cartoon of Muhammad? Because this is one of those myths, I think,
that I've
heard.
That has occurred at some point in history.
People have been murdered for it.
Okay.
The great-grandson
of... But at this mosque is fine.
Who's the... Vincent Van Gogh's great-grandson, was it? No,
I got no idea.
Who was the?
What about him?
Who was the famous guy that got stabbed in Holland?
Before
like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I forget.
Goff,
that Van Gogh. I know that happens, but I'm wondering what is the line like? Because the thing is, the smiley face that had the word Muhammad over it didn't have a circle around the smiley face, and I think that's really what makes
a cartoon.
Without the circle around the head, like. It's just a floating smiley. It doesn't count as anything. But when you close off the shape, I think that's what makes it real.
Here's what I actually think. I actually think that people are offended when the cartoon is clearly a stereotype of them. The people drawing the Muhammad cartoons, they don't really have this first clue what Muhammad looked like or how he dressed or any of that stuff. They don't really, it's not a drawing of him. It's a caricature of an Arab.
Well, there's also like classic Islamic art from back in the day that are pictures of Muhammad, you know?
Yeah.
There's
Persian tapestries and all kinds of
stuff. Was it not forbidden then?
It's not in the book.
It's not forbidden.
It's a made-up rule. It's sort of a made-up rule. It's made up. Well, there are a lot of them are made-up rules, but the question is, in what century was it made up?
Is it an old made-up rule?
It's not in the first canon.
Yeah, it is an old made-up rule.
Islam is like Judaism in that a lot of it is up to interpretation of clerics later, whereas Christianity kind of feels like that because, you know, like... televangelists decide what the word of God means, but there isn't really a canon of it, whereas there is with Judaism and with Islam, right?
Hmm. Well, there are those who claim that there is a canon that they agree with, and then there are always movements of people who are like, we don't like your canon. Yeah. But traditionally, like from the beginning, it was an aniconic religion the way that Judaism is, where you're not supposed to have caricatures of people because there's this risk of them being mistaken for an idol or something like that.
Yeah.
But like immediately within a generation, you had people who are like, this is not an idol. This is a historical record. And they immediately began like depicting the events of his life in paintings and tapestries and things like that. So
I thought of it
a difference of opinion.
I was dancing last night. There was dance lessons at a church, and
the cult.
No, this was way outside the cult. And the church had images. First of all, had the biggest image of Jesus, and he was dancing. It was a dancing Jesus. It was like a whole dance hall. I think the whole church was about dancing. They had Gandhi, and they had like Buddha, and regular people in jeans, and monks, and all sorts of people painted up on the walls who were dancing. And I thought, you know, like, that's a pretty weird image. That must offend some people. But then I was like, oh, yeah, you can't even draw. Like, Muhammad isn't represented up here. I don't see a Muhammad image. So I was like, maybe
how would you even know?
So I just wanted.
Nobody knows what he looked like.
Well, because there isn't a caricature of him yet. Like, nobody knows what Jesus looked like. But we all know the, like, Jesus
he
figure.
Looked like the guy
with
the
long,
the
long hair, Caucasian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so there is no, really intricate.
He looked like a Jewish hippie. Actually, yeah. I think he looked like Michelangelo. I think most of the paintings, the representations of Jesus are from a picture Michelangelo did that was kind of a self-portrait as a model.
Huh. Wow.
Because he looks Italian.
He must have been sexy.
He looks Italian in most of the paintings. He doesn't look Jewish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Where was pardon my ignorance, but where was Muhammad even from?
He's Mecca. From Mecca.
Where's that?
Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. Right, kind of the southwestern tip of the Arabian Peninsula.
So where's that? Is that
Middle East?
It's like, I'm an American. Like say you're in Egypt, right?
Explain that, it to me like I'm from America.
Say you're in
you know
Africa,
where Egypt
Africa.
Is? That's where the pyramids are, right? So imagine you're at the pyramids. If you go north, you're going to hit the Mediterranean Sea. If you go east, you're going to hit the Red Sea. If you swim across the Red Sea, you're going to end up on the Arabian Peninsula.
And you know, the really funny thing is, like, there's Christians listening going, I don't like this. This guy knows too much about them Muslim countries. But it's like, when I was a kid, they taught this in Sunday school, in Christian Sunday school. Like, it's the same.
Yeah, they had this in the back of my Bible.
You know, yeah.
I was supposed to study this.
I used to,
because it's where Abraham went in the Bible. Like,
I grew up in this summer in this place called Chautauqua, New York, where my mother had a store. And there's this really cool feature. You can find this online. There's like a scale model of the Holy Land that's like three blocks long.
Oh yeah,
like with lakes and rivers in it. Yeah, it's very cool. Like, you know, I would go like, you know, stomping across Nazareth. Like crush, kill.
Oh, you could actually jump in.
Oh yeah,
and it wasn't like one with roped off.
No, man, it was like part of the landscape down by the lake, Chautauqua Lake.
Man, that's sweet. Fun. Were there gates where they threw heathens over the rocks
they threw
and
the
left
sea.
Them to the wolves? Well, good.
Worms.
You know, they haven't brought up any religious material at the cult yet, except for they sort of want me to be Buddhist, I think. The guy, Mama Satoy, has mentioned that a couple of them are Buddhist, and I guess that's the way they want. Like, they left a Buddha in my room. And maybe that's a bug, actually, now that
it's
I think
gotta
about
be a
it.
Bug. They're listening to this whole thing. Oh, it's called Palestine Park, and there's a Wikipedia page about it.
The other
there
weird
you
thing
go, Palestine
is,
Park. There should be little people with AKs now. Rocket launchers. Too soon?
Well, so they definitely too soon. There's people, I don't know. I don't even get the whole thing. I won't even talk about how ignorant. Where are people refugees from? What's going on there?
Syria.
Am I?
Syria is the current refugee.
Where are refugees from? Everywhere except New Hampshire.
I guess.
Everywhere the U.S. drops bombs.
I was hoping that I could share some of the cult websites with you guys, but apparently you're like locked out of them. Like yeah, I can't even publish them. I wanted it as part of the show notes for the Freedom Fiends. But
don't
you
do that.
I mean, you saw them.
But that's kind of, I think that's kind of like, would they want you to
No, I want this. I want this exposed.
I think you
I want people to know.
I think you should wait until you live there 2 months and get that other place and then do it.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Don't I mean, I'm burn not a, the bridge on day
I
two.
I don't have a moral issue with it. I just, you know, don't want you homeless living in
All right, good point.
I, want yeah, you, the I don't want thing, you living at Haight and Ashbury.
I don't know. These hippies seem to live pretty well. they've taken every store that's closed down and they've made it their own store and they just sell drugs.
They've made it their own toilet.
No, it's not. I don't know. They actually, I was walking down the street and they had mobile showers out of a big truck and you could pay just a couple of bucks or something. Take a shower. Like legit homeless people will do that.
Yeah.
But the dirty hippies, they refuse. They choose not to. They're so filthy. It's disgusting.
They really are.
I can't believe. How do they choose a lifestyle like this? And Michael, you were even backing me up saying that these people are trust fund babies. Like
it's natural. They actually that's are what from- you don't understand. That's the natural human body is filthy. We spent thousands of our evolutionary years as filthy human beings.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess that's something that some people want to choose. I don't want that.
I guess, yeah. Well, they do.
I don't even want to see that. I have a conflict also, like, with like even living around these people, I guess it's my problem, right? Like I just gotta move if people are too awful around me. But like, so they have this you expression around here. It. I guess they have it everywhere. Yeah, that crime doesn't climb, and that's been true. Like the Roosevelt family cult is up on a hill,
yeah.
And there's no dirty people around there. But all the dirty people are down at the bottom of the hills.
Crime doesn't. I guess like,
you don't have the ambition to walk uphill.
Petty crime doesn't. Petty crime doesn't. Climb, but like home invasions do.
Yeah. The people who like come out with a truck and a team of people.
Yeah. People that work at crime.
Right. I am pretty nervous about that too because I can't lock my door. You know, like there are no locks on the personal doors. And there's no weapons around. You know, so if there's some kind of intruder, I'm expecting like. Well, I shouldn't tell people like, oh, hey, by the way, there's no weapons. So there's lots of weapons.
Yeah.
And you well defended.
And you want to like expose them and say where they are practically.
Armed yeah, with gratitude. I really do. I'm grateful that we haven't been robbed and raped yet. It's great.
You know, 20 people. Here's the thing, too. Like 20 people. With household objects and like a desire to defend their home, probably could defend their home against, you know, two or three people.
If we're all home, that's the other thing. Like nobody's ever home. I'm sort of creeped out by that. Like, am I the only one?
They're all hanging out around the house, attic watching you on video cameras.
Yeah, seriously, there are a couple of doors that I'm like, I don't know what they go to. Where's that?
And why are they closed?
Yeah, why do some people get to close their doors? I've noticed that also. Like,
maybe it's because they're clear.
No, the doors are not clear. My doors are not only glass, like you can see through them, they're windows, but I have to keep it open anyway, so it's freaky. I'm afraid he's going to say I didn't decorate well enough. Everyone's got a pretty room. You must add something to the house. You must leave it better than you found it.
Better than you found it. Yeah.
But don't look under the Buddha.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the... You know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hey, bronies.
Ew.
I'm not into that. That's okay.
I don't get it.
If clopping's your thing, that's fine.
Clopping.
So I was in a sex shop in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Called Mr. S Leather, and I think they're great. This is not an advertisement or anything, but I think they're awesome. They have a lot of great stuff, a lot of selection, and friendly, helpful employees. They have porn on in the store, so I thought that was kind of fun and interesting too. Like, I've never really been in a place where like the walls are decorated with actual porn playing. But you know, like maybe video. It's a new kind of place. So videos, yeah, and it's not a place where sexual activity is okay. It's not like a place where people go to have sex.
I'm looking at Mr. S Leather on Google Street View right now. I'm somewhat disturbed by the fact that it appears to be their vehicle parked out front is a school bus of the short bus variety.
Yeah, and it's got like little children's fingerprints or something.
Does it really?
In red? No.
Okay, go on.
So yeah, but their changing rooms are really interesting. So anyway, I tried on a chastity device at this place because I was looking to try out a couple of different.
What's that? And I'm like, don't ask. Just keep going, Derek.
Just keep going.
It's not like I'm a stranger to sex shops. Okay, I'm just saying that I never
that was a thing.
I didn't know they still. I knew it was a thing. I thought it was a medieval thing. Yeah. I didn't know they still made
it's
them.
It's making a comeback, man.
Who would think? Yeah, medieval.
I mean, chastity
would be
is not exactly
shop.
In these days.
Derek so it go, is actually.
Derek wanted to go you totally are, medieval on you, but
it is super expensive. In these days.
Chastity so is the new promiscuity.
I mean, these things are flying right off there. The shelf.
That's the title of the episode.
So I tried one on. It was very comfortable. I had an employee help me out. He said, everything looked good, felt good. I walked out with it, you know, like you would with new shoes or something. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just wear them out. And so I went to pay. And this thing, I knew the price tag on Amazon. And I'm willing to pay more because I'm at a retail place. But they charged like 5 to 8 times. I forget exactly how much it was. But it was an insane amount more than this product actually costed. Like, anywhere else. And so I didn't find that reasonable. So I felt embarrassed, but I had to say, like, look, take this off, clean it, do whatever you got to, but I am not buying this thing. Sorry. You know, we haven't made our exchange
stores?
Yet.
I mean, I guess some people can try stuff on, but like.
Because sometimes you want stuff immediately. Like, we wanted rope the other day.
Amazon's
we needed
so
rope
close to immediate, though, man. If you get the Prime, it's 2 days shipping free, and you get 1 day shipping cheap, and in some cities, you can get some things within an hour delivered to you.
Actually, yeah, that probably includes San Francisco. So I'll look into it. Oh, man.
It's
we overpaid
come down
for
to
rope,
sizes,
too.
Right? It's got to come down to sizes. Does it
and
fit
just,
right?
And just, like, it's comfortable to shop in a store. Like, sometimes you want that hands-on personal experience with these guys. And they all have, they all have something kinky about them. Like, one of the employees who helped us didn't have a back to his pants. I thought that was cool. You know, like, you can actually go to work and make money in a store in San Francisco without wearing any pants. It's like a legit store.
It's probably a violation of health code, but go on.
We ended up buying some rope, and I figured this was pretty unique and special that we were doing some bondage right on the beach, you know, at a nude beach where people were being naked, and that was fun and free. But we weren't even the only ones doing bondage on the beach. There was someone else. It was like an old trick. We're not even new.
I know. Now I'm looking at this. Did you guys see these pictures I sent you of Palestine Park in Chautauqua, New York? It's got Jerusalem.
Yeah, when you're Godzilla.
I'm Godzilla. Crush, kill, Jerusalem. But when I was a kid, I did that all the time. I would go fishing in the lake down there by that, and I would just like just stomp on all of the Holy Land going, It wasn't.
You should have carried a video camera.
They didn't exist.
You make little movies.
Derek.
They were pre-video camera?
1978.
They had them.
Yeah, they had them. They cost like $40,000 and required four men to operate them.
Seems worth it for the Godzilla footage that we now don't have. So
I think it'd be a lot cheaper, Michael, for the three of us to fly to Chautauqua.
Let's recreate it.
Recreate it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's where the next Fiends convention should be. It should be in the Holy Land.
At Palestine Park. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to Porkfest this year. We're just going to all go sit on the Holy Land.
Leave it better than you found it.
And leave it better than
we're
you
gonna
found it.
We're going to go build a settlement. And we're just going to occupy it.
Oh, man.
Occupy Palestine?
Chautauqua, New York?
Yeah.
All right.
Too soon?
Occupy Chautauqua.
There you go. You know, Chautauqua is a word for a teaching hospital.
It's Indian for place where one was lost. Or bag tied in the middle, because the leg's shaped like a figure eight.
Congrats on your new kitties.
I know. They're nice.
Meow!
I like them. Nice. And we didn't even talk about Cantwell and how an idiot he is. We were good.
I figure everyone knows now.